The opinions expressed in this podcast are the guests' own and do not reflect the view of the Monday Night War podcast series, including the Raw Retrospective or the Nitro Party. The Displaced Wrestling Fan podcast is not affiliated in any way with WWE and is meant for entertainment purposes only.
He is a lifelong pro wrestling fanatic. This year, he swore off watching the current product altogether. We are going to attempt to win him back, and I don't think I can do this alone. This is the Displaced Wrestling Fan, Episode 2, part of the Monday Night War podcast series. Find us at MondayNightWar.com. In fact, go to MondayNightWar.com for the full experience that the Monday Night War podcast series has to offer. It is there that you can connect with the show's Twitter and Facebook page, as well as our RSS feed. The Monday Night War podcast series, which includes the Raw Retrospective, Nitro Party, and this recording of the Displaced Wrestling Fan, is available using any device, iPhone, iPad, Android smartphones, tablets, desktop computers, and laptops. Just plug the link to our feed into your preferred method of subscribing, downloading, and enjoying your favorite recordings. I am at Wrestling Savant on Twitter. That is also my handle on the Squared Circle subreddit. He is at a fan no more. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. If you had to name one point in time of all the things that wrestling has produced, much to our displeasure, what was your breaking point?
I can remember the moment vividly in my head. Daniel Bryan did the job for Roman Reigns pay-per-view prior to WrestleMania. Ultimate breaking point in 2015.
Fastlane, I believe it was, and that was because you couldn't see it for what it was. They were trying to really get over that Reigns character, huh?
Couldn't see it for what it was. Oh, my God. Yeah, that might have been it. It might have been that they would rather push crap that they think is going to sell some merch over letting talent that's there that can wrestle. So what if DB had went over? Maybe he wouldn't have ended up with the injury. When did that happen? I mean, maybe it was a...
Daniel Bryan has had some lingering issues, and I think he was just coming back from an injury at that point, and then re-aggravated it, if I'm not mistaken, at or right after WrestleMania. The thing about Roman Reigns is that marketable look, not the absolute dirt worst, right? I mean, what a backhanded compliment, but they were just forcing him down the throats of fans, and then, you know, I've never seen that type of backlash from an audience. I mean, they were not buying into it. So with how things played out in the main event of WrestleMania, I don't think they could have handled it better. Besides the fact that they could have just planned better in advance, they were doing it to just spite the fans. I mean, the Royal Rumble win and the Rock's face, you can't fake that. I mean, he just did not expect to be booed out there. They really threw everything at us to try and get Reigns over. I kind of like the role that he's in right now, where he's like the tier underneath the top. And I think that the sum is greater than the parts of a team with Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, because those guys are floundering on their own. So let's talk about the topics that we covered last week. We talked about Night of Champions. You gave your take on Seth Rollins as WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and then dropped some controversial comments regarding your opinion of Sting this week. We are actually coming off the heels of NXT TakeOver Respect. This recording is taking place on Thursday evening, October the 8th. So I think now is a good time to discuss that. Even if you haven't seen it, I wanted to talk about the dichotomy of WWE and how it differs from that of NXT. So you and I have gone to an NXT show there at Full Sail. What is your opinion of that little boutique promotion versus what we have to suffer through on Monday nights?
It's hard to kind of summarize for me, because it is still WWE, and it's a lesser product of WWE, and WWE itself is just hard to watch currently, so watching their up-and-comers doesn't make it better for me. So I know that you're all, you know, hard on for NXT and Everyone thinks it's like kind of like almost like I think that what fans wish that it was ECW and not WWE ECW, but real ECW, where it was like just a short, sweet wrestling program that was different from the WWE or the mainstream. And it's not. It's still WWE. That's why I don't really roll out of bed to watch it, basically. I haven't watched a single one on the network. I've only, I guess, been to the one that we went to. I know that there are guys there who are working hard, and that's cool, but nobody that has caught my eye yet that I care about. So I'm still just kind of lumping them in with WWE, in a sense.
I can understand that, and really when you look at it, it's I don't watch it for the up-and-comers, per se. I watch it for the way that they pay attention to the little things, the details. It is wrestling as we remember it when it was a better time to be a wrestling fan. They have logic. They try to avoid gaps in, you know, logic holes, I should say, at all costs. They have clearly defined faces and heels. They fight over championships, number one contenders, things like that, that have just seemingly gone to the wayside because Monday Night Raw fancies itself a variety show, like they're competing with SNL or something. And they've completely ignored all the fundamentals, and NXT pays very close attention to it. So things like TakeOver, and this isn't the first time they've done it, but that music that plays, that thumping music that they use when they drop the Hell in the Cell, they used to use that prior to Hell in the Cell during big event matches, right before Shawn Michaels or Stone Cold Steve Austin would come out at WrestleMania 14. You'd hear that music and you'd see them walking from their dressing room to the gorilla position. Just that little nuance, which no longer exists on their main product, is something that happens during every main event that NXT produces on their quarterly specials. So little things like that, they still do, and I still appreciate. So I think you would too if you gave it a shot. Look, they've got an upside. They've got some talent working there, but I'm not going to sit here and talk to you about Sami Zayn or you'll just laugh. You'll laugh them away because you're driven, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, a little bit more by characters, right? That's what drives you to watch, whereas I'm looking at it from kind of a different fan perspective, and NXT scratches my itch. I don't know if it's perfect for you, but it's a much more enjoyable wrestling product if it was the only wrestling product that you watched.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to do a lot more than some background noise when guys come to the ring. I mean, I'm going to need like a whole catalog of things that, you know, are going to add up to it finally amounting to better pro wrestling to watch. So, I mean, I appreciate that, yeah, there, maybe if Triple H is making the calls over there that they get to do a little bit more stuff that's not so much of the variety show. But from what I saw and what I've, you know, glanced at, it still has a lot of that mainstream WWE feel to it. So I'm just not able to find time for it, basically, just like the main product. So I do when I have time. And right now, I mean, I couldn't be more out of the loop. In the last week or two, Owen Hart could have came back from the dead and won the strap, and I wouldn't have known about it. I mean,
that would have been something.
That's how removed I am from the show right now. So with that being said, my point was the only thing I do ever find time for is if I'm flipping through and Ring of Honor is on the tube, I'll watch that until I fall asleep usually. So that's where I am with pretty much just wrestling in general. I mean, it's tough times. I always feel like it's tough times, though, whenever I'm watching. It's a bad genre, but this one in particular just definitely just let me put the nail in the coffin.
So what's the last show that you watched?
Raw, like just in general, Raw, what are we talking?
In general, yeah. I mean, was it a pay-per-view? Was it?
Yeah, I guess I watched most of the debacle involving the man called Sting.
Yeah, we covered that last week. That was the last show?
I guess so, yeah. For sure no Raws or... You know, I think that we touched on it, whereas I hadn't watched Raw in like 6 months, and the first time I put on it was Mark Henry's making his way down to the ring to fight Kane or some crap like that. Just same crap, dude, literally, that we've been watching since, what was, you know, when did those guys debut, 96, 98, and here we are, 2000. 2015, it makes sense that a lot of dudes stayed around way past their prime and crap, and, you know, we looked at WCW, and all it was past their prime, but now we're talking like 20 years, man, 20 years past, and what prime? No, there was no prime for Mark Henry, Kane, The Big Show, and they're still out there as main acts on the show. That just kind of sums up the whole product for me. It's like, they're not veterans. They're excuses because they haven't figured out how to fill 3 hours of television, man. That's what it is. So, I mean, it's you cannot sell me on this product right now. It's retarded.
It's definitely a different time than ever, and I guess the best way to frame it is that they've got so much programming. So 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, which is treated as a total afterthought. And then you've got your network specials, and then they add, you know, they slide in a few non-regularly scheduled specials in there, like the MSG show. So there's a lot to take in on top of the original content that they're producing for the network that includes NXT, amongst others. So you've got far more access to their programming, and then you've got shows like Total Divas getting picked up for another season. Now, this may seem crazy, but when you look at the ratings, because Raw is experiencing terrible ratings right now, like worst in 20 years, not to your surprise. But TV has shifted, right? A lot less people are watching these few networks. It's like TV is way more spread out with tons more channels. Plus, people are watching on DVR replays. They're watching online, whatever. But the ratings for Raw are not good. So just to give you an idea, they're hovering right around 2.2, 2.3, which is the lowest probably since 1996, maybe, 97. But then you got a show like Total Divas, who finishes out their season finale at like a 1.6. So the gap between Total Divas and Raw is, I mean, there's less than double the amount of people that are watching Raw, which is kind of scary when you talk about how successful a franchise like Total Divas has been. So there's definitely something there where people are watching. My girlfriend, your girlfriend, both watch those shows, Total Divas, but have no interest in wrestling otherwise. So is ratings for their flagship show the only thing they care about? I have to imagine no, because they are having record years from a profitability standpoint. So I guess just to tie a ribbon around that, there's many more displaced wrestling fans out there, I'm sure of it, that have tuned out. And I don't know what it's going to take for them to change their format, because it's just stale. It's homogenized. It's so polished now, where everyone comes into their, you know, interview segments and they spit their words into the microphone, but they never really look into the camera. Right, they're always looking off into the distance. If they're watching something that's transpiring in the ring and they're backstage, they're standing at this weird 45-degree angle. It's just very unnatural looking, and there's things that exist within their production that only exist within the WWE. Like when they stop an interview and Renee Young or JoJo or Rich Brennan, they don't say back to you. They just sit there and stare blankly at the screen until they fade off of them. It's just so odd, but it's so very WWE, and they could change those things very easily just to shake it up, just to make it feel a little bit different. When's the last time you watched a WWE show where they did a backstage segment where the walls weren't curtains with pictures hanging up of whatever current DVD or book they're selling to make it look like they're in a room, when in reality they're just standing in a hallway that's well lit to cut that particular scene? When's the last time you've seen that? Why don't they just film in a room? I don't understand it.
I mean, you're the one that's supposed to be putting this crap over. I don't know. Don't ask me. So, to just respond to that, the thing that's going to make it change is a superstar. And I'm not talking like a WWE superstar. I'm talking like a real talent, a real pro wrestler, a real star, who gets his way somehow to the WWE and still maintains his balls, for a lack of better words, because what we're getting now, and I mean, I listen to Shoots more than anything, or, you know, Shoots and Austin podcasts and things, you know, the good old boys talking about what we're missing today. And I mean, I just right there with them as far as we're watching this very polished product that is no longer created for a wrestling fan. And it's going to take a star. And, I mean, that's what always turns it around. Think of every time you've ever been wanting, you know, launch back into full-on Mark mode. Is because someone, the CM Punk is the most recent memorable thing, you know, pipe bomb moment, his little run there, and prior to that, you know, I mean, I'd have to go back far for myself, but Austin or arguably like Daniel Bryan and whatever it was that brought people back in. So it's going to take a star who still has balls, man. And so that's all that I can think, and that's not going to change their whole show. That's very difficult to break the mold that they've now created that they think is working for them. If they're more profitable than ever, then they think that they've got it figured out. So my point is, it's going to take a star who can get there, and then when they're like, all right, we need to do it like this, and the dude will be like, yeah, 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 and then he does it his way. So think about Shawn Michaels and Razor and Ric Flair and these dudes who did what they did because they were great, and they were, I'm sure, a lot of feathers ruffled, and that's why those guys, you know, a lot of them quit or bounced around and, you know, had bad blood and then came back because they were stars, man. They were superstars. And so that's what we're missing, dude. Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns and all this crap. Dude, these aren't superstars. These are pro wrestlers who are filling the hole that is left because they haven't allowed anyone to be a star, or they've let stars leave. So they should have never let Punk leave. They should have juiced that guy and milked him for every last ounce of ability and mic time that he had in his body. But they wanted to stand their ground and be cool and say, we don't need him. We can make stars out of anyone. Well, if your show is at the lowest it's ever been, then maybe you can't make stars out of anybody. And so that's what it's going to take, is a star and just the times, man. As far as their show changing, the nuances about, like, cameras and announcers not doing stuff, that just that stuff's going to be always evolving and changing with time, but even a superstar can't change that crap. As far as the main focal point of what's important here is that it will take a new talent that's breaking out and kind of going against the grain. That's the difficult thing, is everyone's so scared for their slot and to the main roster, they just play ball. And it's going to take a guy who's like, yeah, 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 I'm the stuff. I got the goods. But I'm sure it's so different when you are there that you can't – it's hard to be like that anymore. And I'm sure that that's what all the old boys would say is, you know, you're not allowed. That's not encouraged to be the man. They don't want any more Hogans running around, you know, with a dictatorship. And they don't have to have that. I think they can have both. They can let guys kind of break free a little bit because they want a star, man. So they keep pretending that that's what's happening with, like, Kevin Steen or Owens. I don't even know what they call the dude. Oh, well, let this guy kind of do something, and people get that feel, that Austin feel. Man, that's just hilarious. That's ridiculous. I guarantee that's what they're hoping when they do that stuff. Like, let this guy get over on Cena. People think it's going against the grain, man. It's the new thing, man. He came out of NXT, and he's got his cool NXT belt. Powerbomb Cena, man. Everyone's going to talk about that and watch this show. Dude, just ridiculous.
So let's talk about the fact that I believe their system is broken with regards to what you just mentioned about really letting someone become that next top star. And what I mean by that is that, first off, WWE is on the marquee. So it's no longer a star-driven product where you pull up and see Hulk Hogan's name or Ric Flair selling tickets. It's WWE. So therefore, WWE being synonymous with the McMahons, and you can put Triple H in there as well, so Triple H, Stephanie, Vince, no one is allowed to become bigger than the brand, bigger than the McMahons. And that's why you've got Stephanie, let's start with her, completely bigfooting anybody she's out there with. And you can't tell what temperature she's running at. Because she always has that bitch face, and then she goes out and sometimes she's a face dancing with the New Day. Sometimes she's, you know, promoting a charity like Connor's Cure or Susan G. Komen. And then other times she is punishing superstars. She's downplaying their divas. And it's really, really hard for anyone to get her goose. So when you have a female executive family member that owns the company that is treated as this princess, as the legitimately, like no one can touch her, it's very difficult for someone to break through that proverbial glass ceiling, right? So I guess my point is, they've got the development system. Now you make it to Raw, And I actually disagree with what they thought about Kevin Steen. I don't think that they're fans of Kevin Owens. I think that was something that they wanted to go with. And then once they went with him, I'm speaking of going over John Cena, they quickly put the brakes on him like they've done with others in the past. The list is limitless. You can use Cesaro as an example if you want to stay current. But they put a little steam behind him and then quickly got cold feet for whatever reason. They didn't like the way he handled an interview. They didn't like how much food he took from catering. Whatever little thing that ticked off the powers that be, i.e. Vince McMahon, in the back translates to the fact that these guys were never followed up on accordingly. So everyone is 50-50 now, which really helps nobody because you don't get that build anymore that we were so accustomed to for decades previously in order to build that upper tier guy. You can beat Cena, and when I saw that in Owens' first match, I thought that was, I just totally did not expect that. And I like Kevin Owens. I just totally did not expect that. So when it happened, you know, I kind of marked out a little bit. But the follow-up was abysmal because they don't want to put faith in these guys. They have to start building for that next phase. These part-timers that come in for WrestleMania or to pop a big buy rate for a SummerSlam, they're doing well building up their big shows with attractions. However, what happens when these guys no longer want to go anymore? What happens when Brock Lesnar moves on? What happens when Undertaker retires? What happens when John Cena is 40 years old?
You let new stars develop.
But they're not doing that.
That's what needs to happen is, that, yes, I mean, the answer to the question is, you know, you let stars happen. And so, yeah, they get cold feet on crap. The problem is, dude, stars don't just come into the business. I mean, they come, like, once a decade. So the point is here that because it is that hard for a star to come along, they literally only come once a decade. I won't drop the point about Punk being let go prematurely. And, I mean, that's how bad he wanted to stick it to Vince. Was he's going over to get his face rearranged for real in a cage just to give it back to Vince and say, you know, I'm still a star that can draw and I'm going to do it over here, the only place left on the planet. And so that being said, you have to keep these guys. You have to let them be whatever. I mean, just imagine how stupid it probably was as far as the drama between Punk and Hunter and Vince. I mean, all that would have took was like a sit-down conversation, but because Vince and Hunter are so hard up for themselves, they just let the dude leave. And here we are with, if you're saying, the worst rated Raws in 10, 20 years, then maybe the people who they thought could be stars and that the people that they think they can just make stars, and Vince thinks they can just make a star to anyone.
Let's have some fun. Let's talk about stars, yeah. Right? So John Cena, 15 times World Heavyweight Champion. What's the percentage? Where are you at on him getting to 16?
Oh, dude, that's yeah. Guaranteed to
okay.
happen.
Where do you think, you know, knowing where he's at right now and the state of the business, do you think it's likely for him to break 20?
Oh, sure. I mean, they've definitely pulled back on allowing him to go, you know, higher than he's already at. It's ridiculous that it's going to happen, that anyone would break Flair's record. And it being him, I don't know. That's a whole conversation that just I don't think I have the patience to talk about. So, we can get into it if you really want to, but that might
we can
go
save
a
it for another time. No, that's a good topic. It just was it popped into my brain because I was also wanting to go down a list of wrestlers here. I'm sorry, WWE superstars that I wanted to get your take on whether or not you think they'll ever wear that belt. So the first one I'm going to start with, and I'm smiling as I say this because I already know that this is like cannon fodder, but Dean Ambrose.
Let's hope not.
See, I'm of the opinion that it's inevitable.
I don't think so.
Roman Reigns?
Oh, God. So, with that, I'm so removed from the product. I can't. The only thing in the world that could make me get further away from it is and when that moment happens, man. I don't know, dude. I mean, I think we all know what that.
That's going to happen.
That. I can't come to. I can't say the words. That's what it is. I cannot tell you the words. Yes, I can't say the words all together in a sentence. As far as his name, the WWE Championship, and the word yes, I cannot do that for you.
Does Randy Orton get another run?
For sure. Look how long Mark Henry and Big Show and Kane have been in the game. if in 2015 going into 2016 still being forced to watch them be in main event spots, then yes, Randy Orton's going to be getting championship runs up until WrestleMania.
You know, he's asking to pull his schedule back to that of a part-timer.
I mean, I would. I would take like 5 years off at this point if I were him. Get some stuff done, you know, take out the trash or whatever you got to do at home. He's going to be around as long as he wants to be. I'm not a fan of Randy Orton. I'm just saying that he's the type of guy that is always going to be able to come back and pop a couple people, and chicks are always going to think he's hot, and he's always going to be a good enough worker to just fall right into a program. And so, yeah, dude, he's going to be winning belts until the day that he dies. I'd be okay with that, actually. At this point, dude, if Rusev was the champion right now, I'd start watching.
I like Rusev.
The show tomorrow. I don't love him. I just like that role of, like, the mega bad guy. Like, this dude, it's straight up 80s, man. I'll fall for that. I'll pay attention to that for at least.
He pulls it off well, too. You would not appreciate the current role that they have him in. However, I think he's making the best out of it.
Is he doing comedy? Is he doing comedy?
I would label it as comedy. Yeah. I mean, it's not Santino or New Day comedy, but he's embroiled in a feud with Dolph Ziggler where they're fighting over, you know, valets.
I know. I was aware of that much, but the comedy thing is the kiss of death, dude. As soon as that happens, I mean, you don't come back from that. It takes a long time.
So I will say they haven't gone full comedy on him, but he's definitely, you know, the needle is pulling more towards comedy than that of the unstoppable villain role that he had leading up to, say, WrestleMania 31, right? So I think up to WrestleMania 31, he carried that role very well of, like, that unstoppable machine monster. And then it's been since then where he's, in my opinion, been floundering. But then again, he's kind of pulling it off, which shows that he's got some chops.
If I were a worker and they started booking me the comedy crap and I was a heel, I would purposely get injured. Real. I wouldn't even fake it. I would purposely, like, break something or tear something, put the brakes on it, so that by the time that they brought me back into the fold, they'd have forgotten about the horrible crap that they were lining up for me. I mean, you have to. It's your own career. I'll jump on a hand grenade to reroute my horrible booking. I mean, I would do it, dude. That's the kiss of death, man. I mean, think. You name me a couple of wrestlers who turned into Eugene and came back from that role. Go ahead. Give me as many as you can. You can't think of any because it doesn't happen. If you go Eugene, you don't go.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to think about it, I would just say it was a different time, though. But Edge, Christian, you know, those guys were comedic characters that then kind of shook that off and became serious. But it's definitely Jericho. But you're talking about a different time. You know, you're talking about in the 90s. So.
I'm talking about, though, like, the comedy that they do now, man.
Yeah, I think you're talking, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, the Santino level.
Like, birthday party stuff. Yeah, so it's, like, stuff that, you know, gets booked at Chuck E. Cheese. And so it was Edge and Christian. They were doing it in a heel aspect, though. They were being humorous in the sense of, like, a heel, the way a bad guy in a movie can even pull it off. But the way they do it now with trumpets and midget and bowl costume, all that stuff, man, you don't come back from that. I mean, where's your credibility when you're out there doing that crap? I would never do it. I would just be like, dude, I don't want to be over. And I know that Mick Foley and guys will be like, you know what, the most over I ever was when I pulled the sock out and, you know, I stopped falling off page and I made 10 times more money. And I understand that, but for me personally, as a human being with integrity, I wouldn't be able to sell out for, like, socks and trumpets, man. I'd be like, just bring it. Let's have some real wrestling matches. Let's be a heel and a good guy, a baby face. And work, and that'll get over. You know, you can shove the trumpet, you know where.
I've got one more, and then I was going to switch topics here. But Sheamus is your Mr. Money in the Bank, and every time, you know, the champion's vulnerable, you're going to see those teased cash-ins. Do they pull the trigger? I can't even believe that they let him win that Money in the Bank match. Do they put the title on him in 2015?
Yeah, man. Bring it. Who doesn't love a big old school monster that actually has a move set and isn't awful on the mic and goes above and beyond to make his look marketable? And man, I'm all for all of that, dude. I would love to just shake the dude's hand and be really good for you. I feel like he's the only guy, man, in the whole company who is doing what I was saying as far as, like, you got to have some balls to pull off getting over, but doing it the way you want to do it. And I think that he is kind of like a bit of a BFF of Triple H's, to my understanding. So maybe that's what's helping him out there. But maybe that's because he's wise enough to be the politician that he needs to be backstage to do what he wants to out there and get over.
Yeah, it's my understanding that they like him, and, you know, it's evidenced by the fact that they've got him in that role, and he's featured on, you know, every broadcast. I just, it's somewhat channel-changing for me. And maybe it's not so much him as it is the fact that how many times have we seen, like, a Randy Orton versus Sheamus match? So when you start getting into, like, well, this is their 20th time wrestling on TV this year, then you just fast-forward through other matches, or through his matches. That's kind of where I'm at.
I mean, that's not his fault. I still, you know, appreciate that whenever he re-debuts, and that's also good that they re-debut him instead of just letting him get extremely stale and then trying to figure out, all right, well, I feel like he's 100% the advocate for the new directions whenever he kind of comes back around, and, you know, that he's got that old school mentality, kind of like, all right, so Macho Man, real big on that type of stuff as well. Came back to WCW, had the different look and, you know, kind of a different vibe, and that was 100% him. Do you think that Bischoff was there going, Macho, why don't you wear, like, a red sequin outfit
with
and go out there and, you know, the next... No, dude, that was Macho being like, all right, yeah, I got to reinvent myself, and because he's a star, man. He knows what to do, and so I feel like Sheamus knows what to do as well, and he's got the balls to do it. He's a big old wrestler, and so that's the thing. Is a lot of these dudes are just happy to be there. They're scared to say anything. They're walking on eggshells. I don't.
Yeah, and back in the day, too, those wrestlers, like you mentioned, you didn't have to be convinced that they were tough. You were watching, you know, mostly tough guys that, you know, after the matches at the bars, you wouldn't want to say a cross word to. But a lot of these guys now are like cast members. And I just can't buy that these guys are as tough as maybe their character suggests they are. Sheamus is not one of those guys.
Yeah, man. He's way up there for me. I can't believe that you...
Must have slipped my mind.
Aware of my level of respect for the guy. You know what, though? It grew. When he first went over on Cena in a tables match, I was right there, you know, saying he was as bad as Roman Reigns and stuff. But that was because it was real way too fast. You know,
it was not
a
month, but it
was
super close.
He
had been on the ECW shows for quite a while before that. But as far as his graduation to Raw... I'm not looking at it right now, but I would say within 3 months.
Yeah, so for me at that particular time, and for me, man, it took repetition and, you know, paying dues, basically, to earn my respect. But the dude has, you know, some it factor there. He's not the absolute best thing of all times, but he's, at this red-hot moment, one of the best things that they have. And so I'm glad that he's finally put back into that role. I'm mildly excited for that, but it's going to take a lot of other making up as far as, you know, who's he going to be pit against? If he was had to have the strap right now, I don't know that I would still be able to.
3 hours
three
is too
hours
long to match a
champion. Probably
they
not.
Could, you know, bring Stone Cold back. It's
it really is. Dude, the only way 3 hours is suitable is if you brought every legend back every week. And not I'm talking the dumb legend reunions. I'm talking like somehow the legends were genetically modified and had like clones from their heyday.
They're all time lords, and we can get them at their prime, right?
For 3 hours. Right, that's the only reason that you'd need 3 hours a night. But right now, I don't need 3 hours of the New Day and Stephanie McMahon dancing and putting herself over after being in the business for 20 years, dude. No. It's 90 minutes. We've talked about it multiple times, different ways. I think that 90 minutes would be the sweet spot. 90 minutes.
Yeah, 90 minutes does flow well. I don't think they'll get there just because of the advertising revenue that they're picking up. They're actually not concerned about the quality of the show. They're more concerned about the revenue that just being on that third hour brings in. All right, last week I asked you to name three of your current favorites. You've now had some time to curate a list. I think that we just learned that Sheamus should be added.
Well, number three is Cesaro. Number two is Sheamus. Obvious that it escaped me because of how much separation there is from this particular character versus the entire rest of the company. But dude, Bray Wyatt is the only thing left still entertaining on the whole program by galaxies and light years.
So let's talk Bray Wyatt, because I left his name right now not on purpose, but off the list of potential world champions. So I want to see Bray with that belt. When you've got that WrestleMania hangover, you know, when you're looking at storylines that are going to take you through to the summer and whatnot. I think that Bray Wyatt is a no-brainer as far as having that championship, and then he's got his minions that can protect him from losing that championship in kind of an old school way, like the Horsemen used to protect Ric Flair. So I don't know. I think there's a lot you can do with him, and they really took their foot off of the pedal with him for a while. But now, you know, he's obviously back on all their programs, and the reformation and addition of Braun Strowman, but the reformation of the Wyatt family and whatnot is going strong. So I like the thought of him being a future champion. So I know the future doesn't seem bright to you, but they do have a few things to work with. It's just a matter of when. When are they going to do something different?
Man, I'm actually the one thing I will give them credit for right now. The one thing in the whole company is that they have not overdone Bray Wyatt on the aspect of being the champion too soon. And, you know, they're really, really drawing it out, and good for them, because they love to blow their wad. They're like, that's their whole MO is like, let's blow our wad immediately. Oh, we got a wrestler that's horrible. Let's blow our wad on him, like, in 2 days. So for him to have been around this long already and not to have been a six-time world champion is, I mean, they probably just can't contain themselves. So that's cool. Good for them. I can't wait to see what they do during his run. Yeah, man, that's exciting to know that that hasn't already happened.
Well, whatever. I believe we should wrap it up for this week. Thank you so much for joining us on episode 2 of The Displaced Wrestling Fan. We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. Again, follow the show, M-O-N Night War, on Twitter. He is at A Fan No More. I am at Wrestling Savant. Go to MondayNightWar.com for the full experience that the Monday Night War podcast series has to offer. Connect with us on Twitter, Facebook, and plug our RSS feed into your preferred podcast app. The Displaced Wrestling Fan will be a regular series until you, the fans, can bring this guy back into the fold, because I do not believe I can do it alone. Check out the Raw Retrospective and Nitro Party recordings, where we go back in time to discuss the episodes of each in their entirety. This digital recording is property of MondayNightWar.com and cannot be reproduced or redistributed in any way. MondayNightWar.com, the Raw Retrospective, Nitro Party, and the Displaced Wrestling Fan recordings are not affiliated in any way with WWE. Until next time, thank you for listening.